Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. China's inflation rate eased in February to 2%, that's year-on-year, amid signs the world's second-largest economy might be cooling. China's National Bureau of Statistics reports that the consumer price rise was down from January's 2.5%. The increase in food costs decreased to 2.7% from January's 3.7%. McDonald Corporation officials today say that its same-store sales edged down 0.3% in February, with continued weakness in the U.S. dragging on results. Franchisees and executives are saying that McDonald's menu may have become too complicated with more new items being added, slowing service and turning off customers. McDonald's said February system-wide sales fell 0.6%. In the U.S., same-store sales or sales at restaurants open at least 13 months shrank 1.4%. USDA Inspector General Phyllis Fong says that her office needs a modest increase in funding for fiscal year 2015 to provide more effective oversight of USDA programs. Fong is asking Congress to approve $97 million in funding for the IG's office, up from $90 million in fiscal year 2014. Fong says her office plans to focus its resources on programs including fraud and abuse within the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps, and she also plans to focus on how well the Federal Crop Insurance Program is being administered. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,416. It's down 35 points. The NASDAQ 4338 is up 2.5, and the S&P 500 is at 1877. It is down almost 1 point. A quick programming announcement: today is a USDA reporting day. Those numbers will be due out at 11 a.m. Central Time this morning. We will have special coverage of the report and the aftermath of trading during the 12 o'clock hour. That will be at 12:40 p.m. Central Time, and our guest analyst will be Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he'll also join us in just a few minutes. But first, a look at agricultural weather with meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely benefit greatly from warmer temperatures over the next couple of days, but it will turn cooler again a little bit later this week, and some of the eastern portions of the Midwest are facing rain and snow as we get to midweek. The temperatures here this afternoon will be very pleasant across a big part of the region, with highs in the northern portions of the Midwest in the upper 30s and 40s. The lower parts of the region will see 50 and 60 degree highs, with a number of locations in Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri getting up over 70 degrees. The warmth will continue to work its way to the east and south as we go through Tuesday, and tomorrow afternoon's highs will be 30s and 40s again across the northern parts of the Midwest, while some of the southern areas see temperatures in the 60s and 70s. But it will be a one-day deal. Cooler air will overspread most of the Midwest as we move into Wednesday and Thursday. High temperatures Wednesday will be limited to the upper teens and 20s across the Great Lakes region. 30s and 40s will occur in the lower Midwest. As we move on out into Thursday, we'll probably expect to see most areas across the Midwest starting to see a bit of a warming trend in the west, where highs will be back into the 40s, 50s, and perhaps a few lower 60s. The eastern Midwest will still be quite chilly on Thursday, with afternoon highs running mostly in the 20s and 30s from Michigan into Ohio and parts of eastern Indiana, while areas in between, including Illinois and southwestern Indiana, will be in the 40s with a few upper 30s. Low temperatures at night across the region are expected to stay rather warm tonight. We'll look for 20s and 30s across the northern Midwest and 30s and 40s in the south, but the colder air will overspread most of the region as we move into Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. Thursday will probably be coldest, Most lows will be in the 20s in the western Corn Belt, while the eastern Midwest will see temperatures in the single digits and teens across the Great Lakes region, and probably teens and 20s in the lower eastern parts of the Midwest. We'll expect the temperatures to begin rebound after that, with no further temperatures that cold for a while. We will see temperatures still cooling back down again briefly late in the weekend across the northern Great Lakes region, where another cool air mass will just skirt across that region. Precipitation prospects will be most significant as we move through the middle part of this week. Disturbance will form in South Dakota as we go through the night tide and start to march from northwest to southeast across the Midwest as we move through the day tomorrow, ending on Wednesday. Storm system will just produce a quarter of an inch of moisture in some areas in the western Midwest. We'll look for moisture totals in the eastern Midwest, though, to run anywhere from about 15 hundredths of an inch upwards to 65 hundredths of an inch, with some local totals getting up to 7 or 8 tenths of an inch. Ohio and portions of eastern Indiana and northern Kentucky will be among the wetter areas, as well as western Pennsylvania. And it looks like some heavy wet snow may fall with this event. Right now, it looks like South Dakota into Iowa will see 1 to 3 inches of accumulation, maybe including parts of southernmost Minnesota and southernmost Wisconsin. But areas from the northern part of Illinois into southeastern Michigan and northwest Ohio could run 2 to 5 inches. But with that said, it's all going to come down to how quickly the cold air gets into the precipitation. If it waits for too long, we'll likely see that much snow. But if it occurs quickly, we could end up with some counties out there with 5 to 10 inches of accumulating snow. I don't think that the latter scenario will play out, but there will be at least some potential for some heavy snow, and if you're traveling through the eastern Midwest, you need to be aware of that potential. Once the storm system is out of the way, we'll likely see some drier weather across the Midwest again that will dominate from the second half of this week into the weekend, and perhaps even into early next week with a cool front skirting across the north. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 719 1/4, up 3 1/4. Soft May, well, make that soft May, yes, at 651, down 3. March corn, 476, down 5. July, 487 1/4, down 5 3/4. And December, at 481 1/4, down 3 1/2. March soybeans, 1443, down 14 1/2. July, 1412 1/4, down 12 1/4. November, 1181 1/4, down 6. March soybean meal, 459.90, down 5.10. March soybean oil, 44.07, down 2 cents. And the livestock, not trading just yet, not quite open. So let's go ahead and look and see what these numbers might portend to the USDA report that's due out at 11 a.m. Joining us to talk about that and more is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave, and it's glad to hear you're doing a little better.
Yeah, I feel, though, as like I come back and the markets go down, I should stay away and be...
Stay away.
And the farmers will be very happy with me.
They'd be much appreciated, right?
That's right. Well, it looks to me like the numbers today and maybe even late in the week, the late trade, yes, on Friday, all seems to suggest that traders are of a mindset that the reports today might be have a little bit of a bearish tone to them.
Yeah, a little bit. We did not close too well there Friday on corn. Had a big, nice up day and then kind of faded there right at the end. And lower trade here on soybeans this morning. So continue to be rumors here starting out the week that China's washing out some Brazil cargoes here. Crush margins continue to be in retreat over in China. So that's weighing on, at least on the front end on soybeans. Not expecting a lot of change in the numbers today. Of course, the traders will be watching that export line to see if the USDA adjusts that for corn and or soybeans. Average guess, though, for corn and soybean carry out here for 11 o'clock is not supposed to be a lot of change. And typically, Dave, the March report doesn't have a whole lot to offer, typically, at least on the supply-demand side.
So it will today because that's the way things
That's the way that works, right? Also watching to see what the USDA does with some of the production numbers in South America. The trend down there, at least from the private side, has been some shrinking production numbers. So we'll see if there's any change there.
Yeah, on the rally, how much selling did you sense that producers did?
Well, the soybean side, not as much because they've been pretty active sellers since harvest. But, you know, we did see some pretty active days on the corn side, 60, 70, or even a little more cent rally here in the futures anyway. So producers did take advantage of it, although still the feeling that still quite a bit of old crop corn to move, Dave.
Is there much more upside to new crop over $5?
I would say it's going to be a tough, hard press. I know seasonally we tend to bounce in this time period, but it'd be hard pressed to really see a whole lot of reason why we need to do a whole lot more unless we have some surprises in that those reports at the end of the month.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Thanks, Dave. Bye.
That's Aaron Curtis of Midco, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn at 476 down 5. July, 487 and a half down 5 and a half. And December is 481 and a half down 3 and a quarter, now down 3 and a half. March soybeans, 1443 down 14 and a half. July is 1413 and a half down 11 and a half, now 11 and a quarter. And November at 1181 and three quarters, down 5 and a half. March soybean meal, 459.90, down 5.10. March soybean oil, 40.07, down 2 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.